So we're going to focus tonight on thinking about the Haggadah from a teenager's perspective. What are some thoughts and themes that we can develop in thinking about it from a teen perspective? Why be Jewish? Why do we want to buy into this? Why should we be excited about the Seder? What are some things that we should consider and think about and that we can share potentially at our Seders as well? So for those who follow on the side, there's a little, I have an outline which is posted in the chat. And if you don't have it, we'll be able to screen share as well. I'm screen sharing it right now. We're going to start at the top here, right here, with Kadesh. And this is a beautiful insight, which I saw this year for the first time in the Haggadah of Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky. Rabbi Twersky talks about the fact that sometimes we come to the Seder and we wonder, well, how prepared are we? How much time did we have? What else did we have going on? And we're like, am I ready for this? Am I really ready? And Rabbi Twersky says, you know what we see from the Haggadah? We see it says, just Kadesh. Just sanctify it. It doesn't matter how much time you had to learn the Haggadah this year, how much time you didn't have. It doesn't matter. When I say Kiddush, I create Kedusha. It's such an empowering idea, and it's a great way to begin the Seder, to realize that no matter what we've done ahead of time, at the end of the day, we all begin at the same point, which is Kadesh. Just do it. Just be Mekadesh, guys. Just create this a special time. Lekadesh means to designate. We're designating this as a special night of opportunity. And that brings us to the second point that perhaps we can think about, which is that at the beginning of the Manishtana, in some Haggadahs, they have it printed, they have a little note that says, V'kan HaBen Shoel. And here the son asks. We know that one of the distinctions between the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, of every night of the year, and the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Higadat Lebincha, the night of the Seder, is that at the night of the Seder, it's Tzdafka Beloshen She'ela. You have to have questions and answers. So, of course, on one level, asking questions is something that's essential. It's part of being Jewish, and it's part of being an adolescent. Inquiring, exploring, asking, those are important questions. Perhaps, though, we can add that in this context, whoops, somebody is just joining. Please remember to mute yourself if you are just joining us. One second. How do we... I don't know how to do this. Whoever's there, I don't know how to do this. Okay. V'kan HaBen Shoel, it's not just we could suggest that a son, a child, needs to ask, and we are children, all of us are children at the Seder, whether we're younger or older. I wonder if part of the pshat here is that, I don't know how many of you guys have learned Bava Metzia, but in Bava Metzia, we know the Gemara tells us there are Arba'a Shomrim. There are four kinds of people who are custodians of things. So you have a Shomer Chinam. That person doesn't get paid. You want me to watch your baseball glove? I'll watch your glove. I'll put it in my house. I'm basically not taking much responsibility at all. I'm not chayav for much at all. However, if you upgrade, you become a Shomer Sachar, then you're chayav for more. You're chayav for Gneva Vaveda. You can upgrade from there to a Socher. And what's the highest level of a Shomer? The highest level of a Shomer is a Shoel. When you borrow something, when I borrow your baseball glove, I take on almost the level of ownership of the bailim. There's also a patur of bailav imo, which is related to this idea. The idea that when I borrow something, I am chaya for it, except if it's mesa machmas malacha, because I'm the equivalent of the owner. I wonder if what the Bala Gada is telling us with the idea that a ben is shoel is that not just a ben is someone who is asking. The ben is a shoel in the sense that he is the borrower. You as a questioner, you as a child and adolescent at your Haggadah, at your Seder table, you become the Bailim. By taking that role of asking, of borrowing, you're borrowing the narrative, and you own it now. As a Shoel, it's essentially yours. It's not 100% yours. Mesamach mas malacha, there still are parents in the scene, but you now own the narrative to an incredible extent because of your She'ela. I'm going to pause for a second, throw it out there to Rabbi Stromer if he wants to chime in, if he has something to add to this discussion at the moment. Okay. I read something this year that was really fascinating. Really, really fascinating. Some of you guys are knowledgeable about science. Some of you guys know about physics. Full disclosure, when I was in YU, I took physics for poets. My professor already at that time was in his 80s. He has since gone to the eternal rest, we could say, Nishmasa Aiden. I don't know much about physics. I didn't internalize too much about physics, but I was reading a book recently that was interviewing somebody who studies Einstein, studies physics, and was studying the life of Albert Einstein. And it's describing in this book the theory of relativity, and it explains something amazing. Apparently, Einstein figured out, and you have to go, you guys go be mavar this on your own in the Mada section of our Torah Umada Journeys in Life. Einstein figured out that things are relative. What does that mean, the theory of relativity? It means that the closer you are to gravity, not only does it affect space, it affects time. Time is actually different when you're in the basement, which is where I am right now, versus if I were on the roof. And that's why he explained, and astronauts confirmed this, that they experience time differently when they're up in space than when they are on the Earth, because when they're up in space, they're further from the gravity. It's a fascinating idea. It means that a clock, on some level, which is a modern invention, a clock actually straitjackets time. Because a clock makes it seem like time is equal everywhere. But it's not true. There are different kinds of time. Time is elastic. Now, perhaps, I have a new understanding of what does it mean that Klal Yisrael left b'chipazon. Chipazon means they left quickly. So many Mefarshim say, like the Maharal and Rav Kook, well, they went b'chipazon, they were so fast, they were l'mayla min hazman, they were above time. What does it mean they were above time? If you run on the track, some of you guys are on the running team, or you're doing some exercise, or you're watching the combine, echveis fos, you see somebody who runs fast and somebody who runs slow. The guy who's faster, it just means he covered more ground in the same amount of time. But it's not exactly true. It is true when you're talking about in the same place. But time is really elastic. It's not the same thing that there's one kind of time in the basement and the same kind on the roof. It's different kinds of time. So maybe then what it means that the Ribbono Shel Olam took us out b'chipazon is that we were in such a unique place. And I don't know how to, I would inquire with you guys further to define this precisely. I've just started thinking about it when I read this just before Pesach. What does it mean that time is malleable? That we can create time. We can make certain time go slowly and certain time go quickly. We own time. We control time. Depending on where we go and what we do. Time now, it's like silly putty. You can stretch it. You can constrict it. The Ribbono Shel Olam says he's going to take us out b'chipazon. That sounds almost like it's a special kind of time. It's chipazon time. It's in the proximity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What an interesting idea, because you guys, Baruch Hashem, you have a whole life ahead of yourselves, and you're always making decisions about how you're going to use your time. And thank God now, especially, let's be honest, most of you guys finished school today, you're done, you have a lot of time on your hands. How do you utilize that time? What kind of time is it? Is it fast time? Is it slow time? And how do we think about that? The answer to that, you want to jump in there, Rabbi Stromer? No, go ahead. I'll skip the answer. Let's go with your thoughts on the chipazon.
It made me think a lot that very often in life, the Rebbe Yisrael ran out of Mitzrayim, the chipazon, we were, grabbed out of Mitzrayim, the chipazon. So I think many of us can probably relate to the idea when you have an essay that's assigned to you and you have this, epiphany that you're not going to procrastinate and wait till the last second, but you're like, I'm going to do it the first thing. Right when I get home, I'm going to start it. So often in life, when you actually jump into something with such excitement, you end up leaving it. Meaning, you started your essay and you threw it out onto a paper, or you threw it up onto a paper sometimes, and then you table it for a week because it's not due for 2 weeks. And then you come back to it and you have to rework it. And yeah, you have so much there. There's so much material, but sometimes you have to go back and rework it. And I think sometimes we jump to things b'chipazon, which Klal Yisrael did. So then there's unfinished business, and that was our journey to Matan Torah. when we run out of Pesach, so then we have to count Sfira up until what? We have to count Sfira up until Matan Torah, because we were taken out from the 49th level of Tumah, we were taken to the 49th level of Tara. Well, it doesn't just happen like that. It has to be gradual, it has to be methodical, and you have to be able to process it. So I think sometimes when we do things b'chipazim, we have to then go back and make sure that we're actually taking care of it. And I think B'nai Yisrael, as a klal right now, we have to make sure that we're finishing everything that our avos, our grandfathers and great-grandfathers, what they started, we have to do the makkah b'patish, we have to finish it. That's one thought on chipazon. And the other thought that always bothered me when I was a kid, I don't know if you guys have this, I mean, it bothers me now a little bit too, but I feel like I have an answer to it. I remember when I was younger, so we always davened hashkama when I was growing up, I davened hashkama with my father every single week on Shabbos. And even hashkama on Pesach, which was the worst, after the Seder goes late, we're still waking up at, you know, 6:45 to get the shul. But I remember everyone's always hacking after the Seder, oh, what time did your Seder finish? Oh, how late did yours go? How late does your... Like, who cares? Why is that a question? Is it stam like you're showing off, oh, we're so this, we're so that, there were so many Divrei Torah, there were so few Divrei Torah, whatever, however, which way you want to show off. So, I don't know if everyone here has seen the movie Miracle, the hockey movie, Miracle on Ice. Probably should. It's a good thing to watch during Banas Manim. But there's one scene at the very end of the movie when the United States, they're beating the Soviets, and it's the last 2 minutes of the game. And the head coach who's been in charge of the clock, meaning he's been keeping track of the time that goes by on shifts to make sure that their line changes, he gives his clock to the assistant coach at the end of the game. This is like an amazing hara. He says, he's a rabbi, you're in charge, short 40-second shifts, take care of it. And the whole entire tournament, the entire Olympics, this coach has been in charge of the clock, and now he gives it up at the very end, like, it doesn't seem to make sense. But I think pshat is when you're so involved in something, you lose track of time. Like Rabbi Brand said, it's all relative. To a degree, time stands still. Right? We all know that like the last 2 minutes of a football game or basketball game take like 20 minutes sometimes. Now it's timeouts and commercials, etc. But it's the same idea. When you're so involved, when it's so exciting, you're on edge and it's about to come to the culmination, like you forget, you completely lose track of time. And I think that's why everyone after the Seder is like, oh, what time did your Seder go to? Oh, 2:30, 2:33, 2:40. You know, everyone's going crazy. But they're trying to show, yeah, I got so involved in the Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. And I think that's something also. B'chipazon, as much as it is, you're excited about it, that chipazon, that nature of being so excited, makes you lose track of time, which is, I think, is what Rabbi Brand was trying to get at.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, let's skip ahead here. Let's move on to Manishtana, which is the number 4. Abarbanel points out that Manishtana is really one question, and that is, we struggle with contradictions. And that's what we're living with right now, that on the one hand, we believe that the Ribono Shel Olam knows, is involved, and loves us and the world, and yet we're struggling because we're facing an unprecedented pandemic. And we see righteous people, Tzaddikim, Chassidim, Yesharim, Tamimim, simple Jews, they're struggling, they're suffering, people are dying. It's a terrible magefa. We're trapped in our homes, all of us, each of us. And so this question of how do we navigate living with contradictions is what we ask on the night of the Seder, because we do a lot of things that have contradictions. Much of the stuff that's happening at the Seder, like eating matzah represents both slavery and freedom. And you know why this observation that Abarbanel is interesting to me? Is because actually the Abarbanel himself lived this experience. This year I just bought this Haggadah. Now, the English version is fine. The problem is that the English version does not give you the Hakdama. The Hakdama of the Haggadah is incredible, because the Abarbanel, in poetic, very lengthy form, he gives you his life story. And he tells you how he grew up, and his childhood was great, and his family was great, and he had everything, and he became a big, you know, he grew up in Portugal, he moved to Spain, he was a big macher in the Treasury Department, and then it was all destroyed. And the Abarbanel says, my life went from being amazing to being wretched. He's expelled from Spain, he's wandering in Italy, Corfu, different places, and he writes the Haggadah at the end of his life after he's been all over the place, and his life is one big contradiction, because he says, part of my life was Cherus, and now my life is Avdus. What do I do with this contradiction? He says, you know what I do? I turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I say, God, you've been with me for this entire journey, and we're going to continue this journey together. I don't understand it. He doesn't end his Hakdama by saying, oh, it makes perfect sense. He ends his Hakdama by saying, you know, the only thing I can do is Va'amartem Zevach Pesach Hu LaHashem. I can give a sacrifice, something as a gift to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's going to give a gift to the Ribbono Shel Olam while he's broken, while his life is in shambles, while he's in exile. And that's why the Abarbanel calls his Haggadah Zevach Pesach. That's what he writes in the introduction. So the story of the Abarbanel's life is the question of Manishtana. It's the question of, we have two experiences. We have the experience of Avdus and Chayrus and Avdus, and we're so confused. We don't know what the Ribbono Shel Olam really wants to tell us with this pandemic, the same way we don't know what he wanted to tell us when he threw us out of Spain. We don't know, unless you're a Navi, how do you know what he's thinking? We don't know what he's thinking. We know that we have to react in certain ways. We have to increase our tefillah. We have to increase our hischabras to our chaverim. We have to empathize with other people. But at the end of the day, the why question, it remains an open question. That's why we don't say, Madua. Madua, that's a futile question. Why? We ask, Ma, how is this, so to speak, Manishtana, how different it is? What are we supposed to do now? That's a very Rav Soloveitchik distinction. But the idea of, and this is something that we have to get used to as we grow older. When we're children, we are taught everything is simple, everything works out, every question has an answer, and all the contradictions are settled. But we see in Manishtana, in the life of the Abarbanel, and in the life that we're living right now, there are questions that Baha'i Alma in this world, they don't have answers. And we have to be okay that we can live a life of emuna. Matzah is the Nama de Mehemnusa, even though it is a contradiction, even though it's a question that it's both Lechem Oni and the Lechem She'onanol of Dvarim Harbe. Number five, V'higadata Labincha. So I belong to the Parents Union, and I'm privileged to do that because I have, Baruch Hashem, five wonderful children, one of them who is presently on this call, who we're very proud of. So V'higadata Labincha, my responsibility as a parent to tell my child, could have said V'dibarta Labincha, it could have said V'amarta Labincha. Rather, the mitzvah is not reflected that way. It's reflected through the mitzvah, the word of V'higadata. So some darshanim say that comes from the word Gid, like Gid Hanasha. We need to make sure on the night of the Seder that we feel connected. Question that we can ask ourselves as adolescents, that you guys can think about as teenagers, is, am I connected to Judaism? Am I connected to the Jewish people? Am I connected to the Jewish story? I don't know. Where do I fit in? That is a crucial question. We as parents need to make sure that each of you have a gid. We need to make sure that you feel and you know that you are connected, that you are connected to your parents, to your great-grandparents, to the Masorah behind us, that you're connected, but you're also connected to the Jewish people, Bechlal, now, and that you have a place, that you're connected. V'higadata Labincha. We want to make sure that you're banim, that you are children, and you guys need to find for yourself. If you don't hear that from your parents, if you're not getting that reinforcement from your parents, you need to find it from your rabbeim. If not from your rabbeim, then friends. Otherwise, books, role models, stories. Make sure that you can find a place to be connected. How do you, as a Jew who's finding your place in the world, how do you find connection? Where is your Jewish connection? That's something we need to think about at the night of the Seder. The night of the Seder is the point of departure for our Jewish journey. We need to make sure that each one of us, whatever age, but especially as adolescents, that we feel that gid, that connection to Yiddishkeit. Rabbi Stromer, anything to add?
On that note of recognizing our place in B'nai Yisrael right now, and really on a larger scale, like recognizing our place in history for B'nai Yisrael. So every single Yom Tov we start Kiddush, or we say at least in Kiddush, Techila L'mikra'i Kodesh Zefer L'tzias Mitzrayim. So what is that? The beginning of Kiddush, it all starts with Yitzias Mitzrayim, because that's when we became a nation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Rav Moshe Weinberger quoted a vart from the Sama Rebbe that I think is very, very powerful. And I think very often, maybe we have certain goals or we have certain desires to connect to B'nai Yisrael and really connect to Kedusha and Torah and good things of that nature. But all of a sudden we're like, we stop for a second. Nah, I can't really do that. You know, I don't know how many of you guys do this. I'm not going to lie. I've done it before in my life, you know. You finish watching a 3-hour game and you're like, I should probably like learn a little bit. And then I'm like, nah, I'm a joke. Who am I kidding? Like, I'm going to be so from now, I'll like learn a little bit. I just wasted so much time. And I feel like very often in life, we get involved in certain things that may or may not be okay. Or they might be okay, we just feel like we just wasted time or it wasn't productive. And we feel like, nah, I can't get involved. So says Rav Moshe Weinberger, Techila lemikroi kodesh, zecher letzias mitzrayim. When you want to get involved in Kedusha, and then you have that Yitzhahara that creeps in and tells us, no, don't do it, or you can't do it. So zecher, you have to remember Yitzhias Mitzrayim. Why? Because all of Bnei Yisrael, we were shakua, we were immersed in an incredibly promiscuous land. We were all involved in Avodah Zarah. And what happened? And we ran right out. We went straight to Matan Torah. Hashem took us out. We learned again, like I said before, the 49th level of Tumah, the 49th level of Tara, and we were taken out, and everything was okay. So anytime you doubt yourself, says Rav Moshe Weinberger, what do we say in Kiddush? Techila lemikroi kodesh. The beginning for your call to Kedusha is you have to remember Yitzhias Mitzrayim. Because we were all on the same level. Everyone was in the same boat. Every single person, doesn't matter who you think, who you're imagining, every single person was a 16 or 17-year-old boy, and we were all involved in the same things. And just because you've done X, Y, or Z, or haven't done A, B, and C, doesn't mean you can't get on a train. And I think that's something super important to remember. Number two, and I'll end with this because I have to run, but shifting gears a little bit for Halach Ma'anya, and then we say, kol dichvin, kol ditzer, whoever needs, come in for a suda. So why do we start that sentence with Halach Ma'anya, this is the poor person's bread? So Rav Ari Marcus is a Rosh Yeshiva in the Yeshiva Reishi Yerushalayim, has a beautiful Ha'ara. We say Halach Ma'anya, right now we're eating poor people's bread, poor man's bread. And then what do? We invite Aniyim into the house. And he says, sometimes in life, when you do tzedakah, when you do an act of chesed, you put yourself on a pedestal and you look at the Ani, you look down at the Ani, you look down at the recipient of your chesed and you think, I'm better than you because I'm doing the chesed for you, or I'm in a more privileged or, you know, a better situation, and I can help you out. So says Rav Ari Marcus, the best way to do chesed is when you recognize that you're on the same level. So first we start out by saying, Halach Ma'anya, we're also eating poor people's bread. So we're eating poor people's bread, and any other Aniyim who need to join us, come on in. We're all poor. It's fine. We're all poor together. To recognize that we have to be looking at people on the same level. You have to look people in the eyes. You have to connect to them in a real way. And the way to do so is make sure that you're leveling the playing field. If we chas v'shalom think I'm better than another person, so then there's going to be that disconnect between Jews and we chas v'shalom. That's something we definitely don't want. So I have to run, but thank you so much for inviting me. It's always good to hear from you. Faces. I see what's up. Shalom, guys.
Thanks for coming. Great to see you. Okay. Number six, Kol Yemei Chayecha. So Chazal Darshan Yemei Chayecha Hayomim Kol Yemei Chayecha Halelos. Then they have another opinion in the Haggadah that says Yemei Chayecha Olam Hazeh Kol Yemei Chayecha Lahavi Lamosa Mashiach. So the first opinion, that there's a requirement for Yitzchiras Yitzias Mitzrayim at night, teaches us that we have a daytime and a nighttime, and in both of those we mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. It sounds like there is a guarantee. There's going to be day and there's going to be night. And the question is, do you only say it during the day or do you also say it at night? And the Kamash Milan is, according to Ben Zoma, we say it at both. This is a very important reflection in our Avodas Hashem, to recognize that there's going to be day and there's going to be night. And the Ben Zoma says, and Rabbi Lezer ben Azari says, I've been waiting for people to understand this. Rabbi Nutam writes in the Sefer HaYosher, there are what's called Yemei Ahava and Yemei Sina, days of love when we feel inspired, and days of hate when we don't feel inspired. And says Rabbi Nutam, it is a guarantee that that will happen. It is necessary, it's part of life, that we're going to have peaks and valleys in our Avodas Hashem. And he says that when we hit those stumbling blocks, when we hit those lelos, those nights when we don't feel inspired, when we feel like we're not worthy, we need to remember that there is going to be a day tomorrow. There's Yemei Chayecha, there's days, and Kol Yemei Chayecha Halelos, and that we're always going to have days and nights. Some of them are going to be harder, and some of them are going to be easier. The goal, says Rabbi Nutam, is just to expand and amplify our Yemei Ava, the times that we are inspired, and when we have Yemei Sinah, when we're not to give up hope, not to despair, to be consistent, to be committed to at least the minimum connection that we have to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, to our Yiddishkeit, and persevere until we get back to the day. So Ben Zoma is telling us that the same way that we have that story, that excitement, that journey of Yetzias Mitzrayim during the day when we're inspired, we need to stick with it even when we're not, even at night, and to recognize that whether we like it or not, even if we're the most inspired today, there's going to be a period of time when we're going to feel burnt out, and we should just keep remembering that there are ups and downs, and not to despair, and not to give up. The Rasha, the Ben HaRasha, he says, Ma ha'avoda hazos lachem. What is this all about for you guys? The Ben HaRasha could be a nice guy, he wants to be part of Yiddishkeit. The problem is, he just doesn't see himself as part of the team. Hotzi es atzmo min haklal, and therefore kafar beikar. The main thing is to be part of the Jewish people. When we left Mitzrayim, we didn't leave as individuals, we left as a nation. It was the birth of a nation. We had individuals, b'shivim nefesh, when we got to Mitzrayim, when we left as one people. Do we feel that we're part of the team? That Rasha says, ma avoda zos lachem, why does he feel like it's a burden? Because he says it's lachem. If it's all us together, then it's not going to feel like it's a burden. The Chacham says, Elokeinu, our God. Because we're on a team. We're in it together. We're part of the Jewish people. When we look at other Jews, do we see them as an extension of us? Or do we see them as the other? Do we only appreciate Jews who look like us? Guys who went to high school in the same high school that we did, or going to go to the same yeshivas that we go to? The Rasha, the challenge with the Rasha, is that he doesn't understand. He's walked away from the team. He doesn't feel like he's part of the team. That's the challenge. Vehisha Amda. What is it that stuck with us? Shaloecha Bilvad in every single generation. So Vehi, according to many Mefarshim, refers to the Bris Bein HaBesarim, the Baruch Shomer Haftachas Ali Yisrael, which came before. The Haftacha that Hashem gave to Avraham Avinu, that Avraham Avinu was told his children will be sent into exile, and then they will be redeemed and returned back to the land of Israel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a commitment to us. Anu ma'amirecha v'ata ma'amirenu. To realize at the Seder that God is committed to us. That no matter what happens, no matter where we end up, what we did, what we said, what we saw, there is a commitment. There is a haftacha. A haftacha is a promise. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us that promise, even if we ended up in the 49th level of Tumah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us that promise, and that is B'chol Dor V'Dor. Whether it was an internet generation, or it's a generation of assimilation with, enlightenment, in every generation, we remember there is that Haftacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, He will never abandon us. B'chol Dor V'Dor, in each generation, Chai V'Adam Lirus Esatzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yatzim Mitzrayim. We have to see ourselves as if we left Egypt. So the Pia Satzner Rebbe, the Heilige Rebbe of the Warsaw Ghetto of Kolomis Kalman Shapira, Hashem Yikom Domus Chus Yogalenu, he parses this word and he says something so beautiful. B'chol Dor V'Dor, in every generation, Chai V'Adam Lirus Esatzmo. A person needs to know themselves. What am I doing in this world? What's my unique contribution? What are my skills? How do I bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into my life? How do I bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world? What role can I play for my friends, for my peers, for my community, for my school? Behold, over door, we're in this generation for a reason. Chai v'adam liros esatzmo. We have to see ourselves. We need to see ourselves in every generation. It's such a beautiful, impactful message. He said this to his Talmidim, his Chassidim, way before the war in 1930. But it's appropriate today. He says, when Hashem saw Adam Rishon after the chait, after the mistake, Adam Rishon's problem was God said, Ayeka, where are you? Who are you? And he didn't even know how to answer. He didn't know who he was. Says the Rebbe, B'chol Dor V'Dor, in every generation, Chayav Adam Liros Esatzmo. We have to see ourselves and be able to know who we are and what we're doing here today. Last observation for tonight. We say Hallel on the night of the Seder, and it's a very unusual thing, because Hallel is a mitzvah sayom, like the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Maseches Megillah. And the Gemara in Erechin talks about all the days that we say Hallel, during the yom, the day. Pesach, we say Hallel at night. What's the pshar? So as many explain, this is not a standard hallel. This is what we call hallel b'shas hanes. If at the night of the Seder, we are, so to speak, reliving the Yetzias Mitzrayim right then and there, then we can understand that once we get out of Mitzrayim, right in the middle of the Seder, we're going to say hallel. Maybe that's why we don't say a bracha on the hallel of the Seder, because it's spontaneous. It's hallel b'shas hanes at that moment. What do we learn from this? The Seder is not history. Jewish time, the Jewish story, Jewish destiny, our Yiddishkeit is not a historical narrative. It's not something that happened, and therefore it's in a book, and we read that book to reflect on what was. It's not history, it's memory. At the Seder, we don't tell somebody else's story that happened thousands of years ago. We re-experience it for ourselves. It becomes not history, but memory. Memory which is alive. And so the goal, and this is where I'm going to leave it for you guys, is to think about how can we create for ourselves in the year 2020 a feeling of living memory, of something that we didn't personally experience in this worldly existence that we're in right now, but on some level our neshama experienced it already. The idea that we left Mitzrayim. We always leave Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim means the Meitzarim, the things that hold us back. We can always break through those. Every day there's a Yetzias Mitzrayim. We can tap into that all the time. The challenge that we can put for ourselves, L'maisa, for the Haggadah, is what does it mean to say Hallel, to feel that we are B'shas HaNes, that it's not just a historical book that we're reading. It's not just American history or European history, whoever you have for your history teacher. It's a memory. And that memory comes with feelings. And that feeling becomes expressed in a song, and that song is called Hallel. How can we make this Seder a time and a place of memory? Not just history, not just reading the books, but singing the songs because we feel that we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as part of what it means to be Jewish. So to summarize the 10 ideas that we shared tonight, number one, Kadesh. When you sit down, you create Kedusha. It doesn't matter what happened before. Haben Shoel, when you ask the Manishtana, you become a Shoel. You become almost like the Bilam. You own the narrative. Matzah, we left the Bechipazon, Lo Yachlo Lehismamea, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his own time. We are the masters of time. We can slow it down and speed it up. Manishtana, the Abarbanel's Haggadah, that we live with contradictions and yet we still feel connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vihigarata Labincha, that there is a Gid that connects us to previous generations but also connects us to the entirety of the Jewish people, to the land of Israel, to the state of Israel, to all the Chayalim, to all the Jews living in America and around the world. Kol Yimei Chayecha, there are days and there are nights that we go through cycles in life of good times and rough times, inspired and uninspired, but we got to just hang on even when we're uninspired. We say Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim at night. Ma Avodazos Lachem, the Rasha, unfortunately, is a Rasha because he takes himself out of the team. We need to understand that we each have a place and a part to play in the Jewish team. Vehisha Amda Lavosenu, what stood for our forefathers and stands for us? It's the Haftacha, the Shomer Haftachaso, Hashem's commitment to us that will never waver. Liros Esatzmo, to see ourselves, Bechol Dor V'Dor, what am I today? Who am I? What's my goal? And finally, Hallel, the experience of Hallel B'Shas HaNes, experiencing memory, having that feeling and that expression of song, and it not just be somebody else's history. All I could say is to wish each of you a Chag Kosher V'Sameach and good health. You should stay healthy, all of your family, all the Jewish people of the world. We should have Refuas, Yeshuas, and a Geula Shleima B'Karov Mamish. Thanks so much for coming.